ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮನೇ ನಮಃ. ಮೋಕ್ಷ ಸನ್ಯಾಸ ಯೋಗೋ ನಾಮ ಅಷ್ಟಾದಶೋಧ್ಯಾಯಃ. ದಿಸ್ 18th ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಅಗೇನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ಸ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಉಪಸಂಹಾರ ಅಧ್ಯಾಯ, ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ಸಮ್ಮರಿ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಎಂಟೈರ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ. ಅಗೇನ್ ದ ಡಿಸಿಪ್ಲಿನ್ಸ್ ಕರ್ಮಯೋಗ, ಜ್ಞಾನಯೋಗ, the importance of making use of the willpower and under Bhagavan's grace, etc. All these topics are discussed repeatedly. Now we are seeing this 18th chapter. Bhagavan beautifully presents, talks about the discipline of karma yoga. And there, when he discussed, talked about the gunas, he also said, in keeping with the predominance of gunas, one's choice of actions will be. And keeping the predominance of guna and the choice of actions, a person is said to be of given varnaha. And one must do one's duties. One must do one's duties. The doing one's own duty, even if it is not perfectly done, even if a person is not perfect in doing one's own duty, still that is greater than perfectly doing things which do not come under his duties. Okay? Got it? That was said in the last class. See, improperly doing one's own duties is better than perfectly doing actions which are not one's duties. And even if a person happens to die in Swadharma Anushtanam, it is better. Why? Because being given to the performance of actions which are not one's duties is fraught with the fear. This Bhagavan said, we saw in the last class. Okay, now I'm going to do the 48th verse. Okay, let me read the 47th verse. Shreyan swadharmo vigunah paradharmat swanushthitat. Shreyan swadharmo vigunah paradharmat swanushthitat. ಸ್ವಧರ್ಮೆ ನಿಧನ ಶ್ರೇಯ ಪರಧರ್ಮೋ ಭಯಾವಹ. ಸೀ ದಿಸ್ ಒನ್ ದಿ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ರೆಡ್ ನೌ ಸಮ್ ಅದರ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್. ಶ್ರೇಯಾನ್ ಸ್ವಧರ್ಮೋ ವಿಗುಣ ಪರಧರ್ಮಾತ್ ಸ್ವನುಷ್ಠಿತಾತ್ ಸ್ವಭಾವ ನಿಯತಂ ಕರ್ಮ ಕುರ್ವನ್ನಾಪ್ನೋತಿ ಕಿಲ್ಬಿಷಂ. ಎಲ್ಸ್ವೇರ್ ಇನ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ವಿ ಸಾ ಪರಧರ್ಮ ಭಯಾವಹ ಸ್ವಧರ್ಮೇ ನಿಧನ ಶ್ರೇಯ. ವಿ ಸಾ ದಿಸ್ ಲೈನ್ ಸಮ್ ಅದರ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್. ಸ್ವಧರ್ಮೇ ನಿಧನ ಶ್ರೇಯ. ಈವನ್ ಇಫ್ ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ಸ್ ಟು ಡೈ ಇನ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಡ್ಯೂಟೀಸ್, ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಬೆಟರ್. ವೈ? ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಪರಧರ್ಮ ಭಯಾವಹ. Doing things which do not come under the category of one's duties will contribute for fear. What does it mean? When a person does which are not his duties, then he has the papam of not doing one's duties. Thereby, he will not be able to He will not become qualified for the jnanam. He will not attain jnanam. He will continue to be in samsara. See, continue to be remaining in samsara is fear. Samsara is fear. Jnanam is freedom, is fearlessness. Moksha is fearlessness. Bondage, bandha is fear. Anyway, so here Bhagavan says, ಸ್ವಭಾವ ನಿಯತಂ ಕರ್ಮ ಕುರ್ವನ್ನ ಕಿಲ್ಬಿಷಂ ನ ಆಪ್ನೋತಿ. ಸೊ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಓನ್ ಡ್ಯೂಟೀಸ್ a person does not incur papam. What does it mean? If you do not do your duty, you are incurring papam. Kilbisham na apnoti. Because if you do your duty, doing one's duty is important. So it prevents you from accumulating papam. That's what Bhagavan says in the 47th verse. Okay. Now 48th verse I'm going to read now. Today's class begins. Sahajam karma kaunteya sadosham api natyajet. Sahajam karma kaunteya sadosham api natyajet. Sarvarambhahi doshena dhomena agnirivavrutaha. Sahajam karma kaunteya sadosham api natyajet. Sarvarambhahi doshena dhomena agnirivavrutaha. Sahajam karma kaunteya sahajam karma kaunteya sadosham api natyajet. Sarvarambhahi doshena dhomena dhomena. Sarvarambhahi doshena dhomena agnirivavrutaha. Dhomena agnirivavrutaha. Hey Kaunteya, O son of Kunti, Arjuna, Natyajet. Tyajet means should give up. Natyajet, one should not give up. Why Tyajet? Tyajati gives up. Tyajet should give up. Means potential mode. The verb of potential mode. We say ling. Natyajet. One should not give up. One must not give up. What? Sahajam karma. Sahajam karma means what? Karma here means the duty. Sahajam means one's own duty. One's own duty means what? The duty which is a person is naturally inclined to do. Sahajam means a duty, an action which a person is naturally inclined to do. It means inborn. Sahajam means karma is action, an action which a person is naturally inclined to do, which is born along with him. Sahajam. Sahajayate iti sahajam. So the inborn duty. Sahajam karma na tyajet. So one should not give up one's duty, which naturally one person is inclined to do, which is inborn, which is the inborn action. One should not give up. Sadosham api. See, doshaha means defective. See, doshaha means defect. Sadoshaha means defective. Okay? Doshaha, defect. Sadosham means with the defect. So, defective. So, an inborn duty with the defect is sadosham sahajam karma. So, defective inborn duty. So, sadosham api sahajam karma natyajet. Hey Kaunteya, one must not give up one's duty, which one naturally is inclined to do, which is inborn, which is the inborn duty. Even if it is defective, sadosham api, even if it is defective, still one should not give up. And he says, why? Sarva arambaha. Sarva arambaha means what? Please make a note. ஆரம்பா லிட்ரலி மீன்ஸ் பிகினிங், துவக்கம் இன் தமிழ் விசை. ஆரம்பா லிட்ரலி மீன்ஸ் பிகினிங், பட் ஹியர் ஆரம்பா இம்ப்ளைஸ் பிகினிங், அட் தி பிகினிங் எனி டியூட்டி, எனி டியூட்டி அட் தி பிகினிங் இஸ் கால் ஆரம்பா. சர்வ ஆரம்பா மீன்ஸ் ஆல் டியூட்டிஸ், ஆல் ஆக்ஷன்ஸ். சர்வ ஆரம்பா இஸ் ஈக்வல் டு ஆல் ஆக்ஷன்ஸ், ஆல் டியூட்டிஸ். தோஷேன ஆவ்ருதாக, ஆவ்ருதா இஸ் அ பார்ட்டிசிபிள், ஆவ்ருணோதி கவர்ஸ், விருணோதி சூசஸ், ஆவ்ருணோதி கவர்ஸ், ஆவ்ருத கவர்டு. சோ சர்வ ஆரம்பாக all duties, all actions avrutaha are covered, covered which means are surrounded by what? Doshena. Sarva arambaha doshena avrutaha, all duties are covered by defects. Defect, what does it mean? There's no action, no duty which is not associated with the defect. All duties are surrounded by defect. Doshena avrutaha. Like what? Agnihi dhumena iva. Dhumena agnihi iva. Dhumena agnihi, dhumena agnihi. Savarna dirga sandhi. Agnihi iva, agni riva visarga sandhi. தூமேன அக்னிஹி இவ, தூமஹா தூமம் தூமேன பை ஸ்மோக், தூமஹா ஸ்மோக், தூமேன பை ஸ்மோக். அக்னிஹி லைக், இவ மீன்ஸ் லைக், லைக் தி ஃபயர் சரௌண்ட் கவர்டு பை ஸ்மோக், லைக் தி ஃபயர் இஸ் கவர்டு பை ஸ்மோக். வாட் இஸ் இட் மீன்? இவ ஜஸ்ட் ஆஸ் ஃபயர் இஸ் covered by smoke, all duties are covered by defect. Dhumena agnihi iva, yatha agnihi dhumena avriyate avrutaha. Just as fire is covered by smoke, just as fire is always covered by, just as fire is covered by smoke, avriyate, we have learnt already one verse. Avrita. Just as fire is covered by smoke, so also all duties are covered by defect, surrounded by defect. Sarva arambaha hi dhumena agnihi iva avritaha. The passive voice sentence. Sarva arambaha doshena avritaha. Katham avritaha? Agnihi dhumena iva. யதா அக்னிஹி தூமேன ஆவ்ருதாஹ ததா சர்வ ஆரம்பாஹ தோஷேன ஆவ்ருதாஹ. ஜஸ்ட் ஆஸ் ஃபயர் இஸ் கவர்ட் பை ஸ்மோக், சோ ஆல்சோ ஆல் டியூட்டிஸ் ஆர் கவர்ட் பை டிஃபெக்ட். சோ வாட்? சதோஷம் அப்பி, ஈவன் ஒன்ஸ் ஓன் டியூட்டி, இன்பார்ன் டியூட்டி இஸ் டிஃபெக்டிவ், ஸ்டில் ஒன் ஷுட் நாட் கிவ் அப் தட் duty, inborn duty which a person is naturally inclined to do. Okay, now what does Bhagavan say here? See, what has been already said, mentioned in the previous verse, Bhagavan repeats the same fact. What does it mean? See, a person has to become mentally disciplined. A person, see, a jnani is absolutely disciplined minded. If a person has to become totally, absolutely disciplined minded, first of all, one must become relatively disciplined. Without becoming relatively disciplined, overnight, suddenly one cannot become totally disciplined from being indisciplined. So an indisciplined, totally indisciplined person has to become totally disciplined minded. Okay, totally indisciplined minded has to become totally disciplined minded. For which first he has to become relatively disciplined. A person has to become relatively disciplined in order to become totally disciplined minded. So he has to do what? He has to live a life of karma yoga. So living a life of karma yoga means what? One of the aspects of karma yoga is what? One must do one's duties. What are the duties? Whatever a person has committed himself to do is a duty. And whatever a person is inclined to do naturally is inborn is a duty. So one must do one's duty, even if it is defective. Okay, that is how a person can become relatively disciplined minded. So that he'll become eligible to become totally disciplined. Therefore, Bhagavan says, even if a person finds lot of defects in one's own duty, which happens to be one's job, which happens to be one's means of earning money, which happens to be one's occupation, there may be undesirable factors regarding one's duty. Still, that sahajam karma natyajet, one should not give up one's duty. So what Bhagavan means by the word sahajam is one's own duty means swadharma. Swadharma anushtanam natyaktavyam. Swadharma anushtanam should not be given up. Why? Because the swadharma as a kshatriya dharma, brahmana dharma, even all these dharma duties also, the duties are also born along with the person. Irrespective of where you are born, how you were born, you are naturally inclined to do certain things. So dharma is always born along with the person. Sahajam, sahajayate iti sahajam. See, the duty a person chooses to do, inclined to do, is born along with the person. So I should not give it up. Okay. How do we say that? So whatever job, whatever profession a person is inclined to do, a person chooses to do, that job, that occupation is in keeping with one's predominance of guna, in keeping with one's nature, swabhava. Based on your swabhava, based on your nature, based on the predominance of guna, your swabhava is, your nature is. In keeping with this swabhava, your choice of job is. What we say now? Swadharma, the job, the duty which is born along with you. And which means the sadharma which you are inclined to do, the duty which you are inclined to do, based on your nature, based on your swabhava, is also based on the family you are associated with, heredity. Therefore, duty is born along with the person as a person. Because one's nature is also born along with the person. See, the duty based on your nature is born along with you because your nature is also born along with you. Therefore, what Shastram says, the job you have chosen to do, any occupation you're interested in doing is the basis of is based on your swabhava, is born along with you. Therefore, even if it is defective, even if there are certain unpleasant aspects, or some undesirable aspects, or some minus aspects, still one should not give it up. It is one thing. Sometimes the duty which happens to be your sudharma, which is your own choice based on your nature, may be boring for you. Sometimes your own choice based on your nature itself may be a boring job. Sometimes the job which you choose to do based on your nature may be interesting one, may be boring one or interesting one. However it is, the boring one, you can't give it up. The interesting one also, you will do it anyway. Suppose sometimes it may not give you what more money we need also. The choice of job is in keeping with your nature, but it doesn't pay you as much as you need for your life. Then it is not interesting. It has some defects, called defective. You need money, but the choice of your job based on your nature doesn't pay you enough that you need for your life. This is how we find it. Defects. Even then, Shastra, then you feel like giving it up. What job it is? I like to do it. I chose this, but it doesn't pay me as much as I need money. Or I want to do, I want to earn. I chose this job, but still, sometimes it's very boring for me. It may be like that. But what Bhagavan says, never give it up, give up. Okay? Then, the reason he gives, sarvarambhaha. Okay? Please make a note, I told you already, the word arambhaha literally means action. It literally means beginning. But here, arambhaha implies action, beginning of an action. Sarva arambhaha, all actions, all forms of work, all forms of jobs, all forms of work. Okay. All forms of jobs. Sarva arambhaha, doshena avritaha. They're covered by defect. Covered by defect means what? Associated with some defect or the other. Some defect in terms of, yes, some minus aspects. Not paying much, boring, or takes longer than what you, it takes long time, etc. So sarvarambhaha doshena avritaha. Like what? Just as fire is covered by smoke, you can't say the fire is not covered by smoke. Very natural. It's a natural. It's naturally, fire is so bright. The bright fire is also enveloped by smoke. Similarly, any job, any profession, any action, which is your choice, based on your nature, still would have some its own negative aspects or minus aspects. Some, it will be some defect or the other, it will be here. So what? Doesn't matter. That should not make you feel like giving it up. We should not be given up. Okay. Why? Because doing one's duties, even if it is defective, is better because it's going to contribute for your mental preparation required for the attainment of jnanam, which is going to bless you with absolute end. What one must do one's duty. Next verse. Asakta buddhis sarvatra jitatma vigatasprahah asakta buddhis sarvatra jitatma vigatasprahah asakta buddhis sarvatra ஜிதாத்மா விகத ஸ்பிருஹ நைஷ்கர்ம்ய சித்திம் பரமாம் சந்நியாசேனாதி கச்சதி நைஷ்கர்ம்ய சித்திம் பரமாம் சந்நியாசேனாதி கச்சதி அசக்த புத்தி சர்வத்ர ஜிதாத்மா விகத ஸ்பிருஹ நைஷ்கர்ம்ய சித்திம் பரமாம் சந்நியாசேனாதி கச்சதி அசக்த புத்தி சர்வத்ர ஜிதாத்மா விகத ஸ்பிருஹ நைஷ்கர்ம்ய சித்திம் பரமாம் சந்நியாசேனாதி கச்சதி. A beautiful verse again. So Bhagavan here again in this verse presents the consequence, the benefit of living a life of Karma Yoga. If a person lives a life of Karma Yoga, what would be the benefit the person can enjoy? He says, who is this here? Karma Yogi is mentioned by many words here. Asakta Buddhihi is a Karma Yogi. Sarvatra Asakta Buddhihi. Aspects of a Karma Yogi. A Karma Yogi is endowed with these qualities. One of the qualities of a Karma Yogi is what? Asakta, sarvatra Asakta Buddhihi. Jitatma. Vigatas Pruhaha. Three qualifications describing a Karma Yogi. Who is Karma Yogi? Sarvatra Asakta Buddhihi is a Karma Yogi. Jitatma is a Karma Yogi. Vigatas Pruhaha is a Karma Yogi. Three words describe Karma Yogi. Such a person, what happens? Naishkarmya Paramam, Naishkarmya Siddhim, Sanyasena Adhigachati. A Karma Yogi Adhigachati accomplishes, attains. Attains what? Most exalted end. Paramam, most exalted end. Absolute end. Absolute success. Paramam Siddhim. Paramasiddhi. Absolute success. The most exalted success, the greatest success is Paramasiddhi. So this Karma Yogi, who is of these qualities, attains the absolute success. Absolute success in terms of actionlessness. See, the person attains the absolute success of actionlessness. The person attains the absolute end of actionlessness. Naishkarm paramam naishkarmya siddhim adhigacchati. How? Sanyasena, through renunciation. Okay, now we have to understand how Karma Yogi is glorified like this. So, sarvatra asakta buddhihi is the one who is jitatma, is the one who is vigatasprukaha. Jitatma means what? Jitaha atma yena saha jitatma. Understand? See, please make a note, the word atma here means mind. The word atma means all pervasive, abstract reality, consciousness is meant by the word atma. But here the word atma means mind. So jitaha atma, atma is a nakaranta pullinga shabdaha. A masculine gender word ending in nakara. Therefore jitaha atma yena saha jitatma. The one by whom mind has been conquered. The one by whom the mind has been conquered means the one who has mastery over his mind. The conqueror of his mind. The person who has relatively conquered his mind. Jnani is the absolute conqueror of the mind. Karma Yogi is relative conqueror of the mind. Jitatma means here a Karma Yogi who has relative mastery over his mind, who has conquered his mind, who has mastery over his mind is Jitatma. Okay. What does it mean? A Karma Yogi strictly is committed to live a life of values. He will not compromise with dharma at all for anything, for any reason. Being committed to live a life of dharma, he is very conscious of making use of his willpower. Therefore, he thoughtfully makes the best use of his willpower. Thereby, he chooses to do the right. He always refrains from the wrong. Therefore, all his actions are not at all dictated by his personal likes and dislikes or personal desires. All his, even though actions are impelled by desires, Karma Yogi's actions are not merely impelled by his desires, likes and dislikes. Karma Yogi's actions are consciously governed by his knowledge of right and wrong. Is it clear? See, any action is definitely impelled by one's desire only. Whoever does any action, all one's actions are, all the actions are impelled by one's needs and desires. But still, even though these actions are impelled by desires, still, Karma Yogi's actions are consciously, thoughtfully, prudently governed by his knowledge of right and wrong. They are not simply dictated by his likes and dislikes, desires or emotions. Why? Therefore, because Karma Yogi is consciously making use of his willpower, knowledge of right and wrong, therefore, he does not go against Dharma. As Karma Yogi does not transgress the universal values, he always chooses to do the right and he refrains from the wrong prayerfully with the proper attitude. As an offering to Bhagavan, he has mastery over his emotions. Desires, there may be, Karma Yogi also has desires. Karma Yogi also has personal likes and dislikes. Karma Yogi also has anger. Don't think Karma Yogi is, Karma Yogi also has anger. Karma Yogi has jealousy. Karma Yogi has all the problems like any other Ajnani. Because Karma Yogi is still Ajnani. But still, those emotions are there, but he does not allow them to be expressed in his activities because he manages them. How does he manage? Because of his commitment to live a life of dharma, he makes use of his will, makes use of the knowledge of right and wrong, that prayerfully, worshipfully, he performs them with a proper attitude as an offering to Bhagavan. He has mastery over his emotions. He is not slave of his emotions. Therefore, he is Jitatma. Understand? Ajnani is absolutely Jitatma. Karma Yogi is relatively Jitatma. Thereby, what happens? Sarvatra Asakta Buddhihi. See, sakta buddhi, he means the buddhi which is interested in all the objects is sakta buddhi. Asakta buddhi, he means the buddhi which is not interested. The disinterested means what? Detached. So, asakta buddhi, yasya, saha asakta buddhi, the one whose mind or intellect is not interested. The one whose intellect is free from interest everywhere with reference to all objects, which means the one whose intellect is detached from all the objects everywhere, perceived from anywhere and everywhere. Sarvatra means everywhere. So sarvatra implies everything. Sarvatra, it's an indicable word which means everywhere. But here it means sarvebhyaha vastubhyaha, from all objects of perception, enjoyment. So whose intellect is free from interest, free from attachment, from everything. Whose intellect is detached from everything is sarvatra asakta buddhihi. And then nispruha means vigata spruha. Vigata spruha yasmat sa vigata spruha. The one from whom all diseases have gone away means what? The one who is free from the hold of desires. Vigata spruha means the one who is free from the hold of desires. Not absolutely, relatively. Jnani is vigata spruha, absolutely. Jnani is asakta buddhihi sarvatra, absolutely. Jnani is jitatma, absolutely. But yet relatively. Karma yogi has relative sense, relatively has self-mastery. Karma yogi is the one who has relative detachment from everything, towards everything. Karma yogi is the one whose intellect is relatively detached from everything. Karma yogi is the one who is free from the hold of desires relatively. So jitatma vigata spruha almost mean the same. So karma yogi is free from the hold of desires means desires do not, he does not allow desires to disturb him. Desires do arise, but he manages them thoughtfully. And because of his disinterest, asaktihi means disinterest, because of his disinterest in objects, because of his disinterest in everything, because of his detachment to everything, he is free from desires. What is attachment? See, this karma yogi knows the value of jnanam, that jnanam alone can give him moksha. He knows if nothing in the world will give him moksha. He has this viveka. Therefore, he has vairagya. He is no more interested in worldly objects. He is disinterested. Why he has grown out? Karma yogi is the one who has viveka, who has vairagya. He has viveka. Therefore, he has grown out of, naturally grown out of desire for all objects. Therefore, he is detached. So, because he is no more dependent on objects. He is no more dependent on anything in the world for his security. Karma yogi does not feel. Karma yogi is relatively secure because he is dependent on Bhagavan. Karma yogi is the one who has shifted his dependence from the world to Bhagavan for his security. Working to shift the dependence from Bhagavan to one's own self. Okay, karma yogi is the one who has intelligently, prudently shifted his dependence from the world to Bhagavan for his security and happiness. Thereby, who is working to shift dependence from Bhagavan to one's own self. Therefore, he is not interested in anything because he is not dependent on anything for his happiness and security. Therefore, he is free from the hold of desires. So, detachment, independence upon the world for one's happiness and security is detachment. Is detached. He is disinterested towards everything. Therefore, what? he is free from the hold of desires, vigatasprahaha. Such a person, in due course of time, will become adequately qualified for the attainment of jnanam. He will have relative mental purification, karma yogi, who has mastery over his emotions, who has disciplined emotions, is said to be the pure-minded. Having mastery over one's own mind means having mastery over one's emotions, means having pure mind. Karma yogi is a pure-minded. And because he is a person of detachment, he is not interested in things. He is not dependent on anything in the world for his happiness and security. He is free from the hold of desires. Therefore, he is also undisturbed-minded. He is a steady-minded person. Undisturbance-free-minded. Relatively, he is peaceful. Relatively, he is not restless person. Relatively peaceful person. Relatively pure-minded. Therefore, what? He becomes, it is easy for him to understand the teaching. Shravanam enables him to resolve the ignorance. Mananam enables him to resolve his doubts. He entertains contemplative mental disposition. Therefore, he attains jnanam. He attains contemplation is possible for him because he has contemplative mental disposition. So he attains jnanam. He has clear ascertained vision. Thereby, he attains jivan muktihi. And attainment of jivan mukti is parama siddhi, exalted success, absolute success, which is the absolute end. So attainment of jivan mukti is absolute success, exalted success. And where a person attains the absolute success, absolute end of actionlessness, naishkarmyam means actionlessness. So naishkarmyam means mokshaha. Oh, the word naishkarmyam literally means actionlessness, but the implied meaning is mokshaha. Naishkarmya siddhim paramam naishkarmya siddhim adhigacchati means this person attains absolute end of mokshaha, otherwise said to be actionlessness. Now the question is, how can we equate actionlessness to moksha? Because moksha is being free from everything. Being free from birth, being free from death, being free from change, being free from emotions, being free from all six enemies, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, etc. Being free from old age, disease, etc. Being free from all limitations, being free from all possible limitations is freedom. Which is the swarupam of the Atma consciousness. Therefore, actionlessness is also what? Freedom. Because action implies limitations. Actions are possible only if there is sense of inadequacy centered on I, sense of limitation centered on I. Where there is freedom, there is actionlessness. Actionlessness is the swarupam of the Atma. All actions, all functions are happening in the presence of Atma because of the presence of Atma, because of the blessing of Atma. All actions are Atma. All functions are Atma. Without Atma, no action is possible. At the same time, Atma is absolutely free from actions. Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. Therefore, actionlessness implies freedom. So this person attains jivan muktihi, the most exalted success, the absolute success in terms of actionlessness. The person who is the nature of actionlessness is smart. Actionlessness means the person becomes free from wrong notions that I am the doer. And the person becomes free from the notion I am the doer. He is also free from all wrong notions in terms of I am the experiencer, etc. Thereby, the person who is of the nature of actionlessness is free from all sanchita karma, agami karma. He becomes objective towards the parabdha karma also. So his jivanna mukti, he attains jivanna freedom while living. How? Sanyasena, through renunciation. So living a life, karma yoga is also, karma yogi is also relatively a person of renunciation. So through renunciation means he renounces what? All wrong notions he has about the self become resolved. Having all the wrong notions one has about the self, having all the wrong notions about the self resolved itself is what? Renunciation. So renunciation means the person consciously, thoughtfully, through his clear vision, he renounces all the wrong notions he has about the self. They become resolved. So having all the wrong notions one entertains about the self resolved is renunciation of the wrong notions. So renunciation implies here when a person goes through Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, in Nididhyasanam, the person repeatedly sees what he is not, what he is. Thereby, all the wrong notions about the self become resolved in contemplation. Thereby, his vision, his sorupam becomes ascertained, assimilated. Sanyasena implies by going through the contemplation, where he repeatedly dwells upon the fact he has understood through Shravanam and Mananam, thereby resolves all the wrong notions, this person attains the absolute success, absolute end in terms of actionlessness, which is moksha. Okay, next verse. See, don't think I'm repeating, okay? This Bhagavan repeats 18th chapter, is a chapter of repetitive teaching. Beautiful. Well, you all enjoy it or not? I just enjoy my class. I see what Bhagavan says. Okay. Next verse. Siddhim prapto yatha brahma tathapnoti nibodhame. Siddhim prapto yatha brahma tathapnoti nibodhame. Sometimes our Shruti group has to put, only then people come, otherwise they'll forget the class. Siddhim prapto yatha brahma tathapnoti nibodhame samasenaiva kaunteya nishtha jnanasya yapara. Siddhim prapto yatha brahma tathapnoti nibodhame samasenaiva kaunteya nishtha jnanasya yapara. Again Bhagavan addresses, hey Kaunteya, O son of Kunti Arjuna. Again Bhagavan tells Nibodha. Nibodha means what? Bodhate, Nibodhate or Nibodhati means knows, understands. Nibodha is imperative verb. So Nibodha means may you understand. Arjuna, may you understand. Vidhi, Nibodha means the same. Kaunteya, Nibodha. Arjuna, may you know, may you understand. How? not elaborately. I have elaborated the whole 18 chapter, 17 chapters are elaborated. Now, samasena eva nibodha. May you understand, may you know briefly. Samasaha means compound in grammar. Because samasaha means brief. Brevity. Samasaha, brevity. So, samasena, briefly. Samasena, nibodha. May you understand, may you know briefly. From where? From where? From me only. May. May you briefly understand, know from me. What should you know from me briefly? Yatha siddhim apnoti. Yatha praptaha siddhim apnoti. Yatha siddhim praptaha. Yatha siddhim praptaha apnoti. Brahma apnoti. Yatha how siddhim praptaha. Siddhim praptaha means, please understand, the word siddhihi here means, even though the previous word we saw, siddhihi means success. Success in terms of moksha. Naishkrimya siddhihi means attainment of moksha is naishkrimya siddhihi. It's a beautiful text, huge text, no, called naishkrimya siddhi. Prose text. One of the prakranas. But here naishkrimya siddhihi means moksha. So here siddhim praptaha here means the person who has attained relative success. Siddhihi in this verse means relative success. In the previous verse, naishkrimya siddhi means absolute success. What is relative success? Having relative mastery over one's mind is relative success. Attaining jnana means having absolute mastery. Having absolute mastery over the mind is absolute success. Having relative mastery over one's mind is relative success. So having relative mastery over one's mind means having relatively pure mind. So yatha siddhim praptaha. The person who has attained mental purification relatively. The person who has attained mental purification relatively. Attains Brahman. How a pure-minded person, siddhim praptaha means pure-minded person, relatively pure-minded is siddhim praptaha. Relatively pure-minded person, Brahma praptnot, Brahma apnoti, attains Brahman. Attainment of Brahman is what? Absolute purity. So, relatively pure-minded person, attains Brahman, which is attainment of absolute purity, is absolute maturity, success. How? May you listen to that. How a pure-minded person attains Brahman? How a karma yogi who lives a life of karma yoga attains mental purification, thereby how he attains Brahman. May you listen to that. And ya para nishtha. Ya jnanasya para nishtha. And may you also understand, this attainment of Brahman is what? Jnanasya para nishtha. Paranishtha means exalted end in terms of jnana, which is the culmination of the attainment of knowledge. Jnanasya paranishta. What is the culmination? So attaining the knowledge of Brahman is the culmination of knowledge. Paranishta. Please let me here understand. Exalted, final culmination of knowledge. Final culmination of knowledge. So he says, Arjuna, may you briefly learn from me, understand from me, how a pure-minded person attains Brahman in terms of knowledge, which itself is the final culmination of the knowledge, which is the Jnanasya Paranishta. This is the final state of knowledge. So Bhagavan says, he's going to explain the following verses. So in this 50th verse, Bhagavan is going to change the topic, which means in so many verses, and we saw in all the previous verses, Bhagavan discussed the topic of Karma Yoga. Almost in 10 verses, from the 40th verse onwards, Bhagavan discussed Karma Yoga, emphasizing doing one's duties, etc. So now Bhagavan says, simply living a life of Karma Yoga itself is not an end. So living a life of Karma Yoga definitely enables a person to have relative mental purification and mental steadiness. A person becomes relatively pure-minded, relatively steady-minded. A Karma Yoga enables a person to have relatively disciplined-minded. A person becomes relatively disciplined-minded. So he enjoys relative peace. So that does not mean a person should stop with the Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga should continue. Karma Yoga should culminate in the attainment of clear vision of the reality Brahman. Attainment of the vision of Brahman. Because even though Karma Yoga without the jnanam will be incomplete. So jnanam with Karma Yoga will be impossible. So merely living a life of Karma Yoga, enjoying the benefit of living a life of Karma Yoga itself does not make a person absolutely successful. It should culminate in the attainment of knowledge of Brahman, which is the final state of knowledge. Culmination of exalted end in terms of attainment of jnanam. Now I'm going to tell you how a karma yogi who has relative mastery, who is relatively disciplined minded, attains knowledge of Brahman, which is the culmination of knowledge. Bhagavan is going to say, of course, after the person goes through Shravanam, a Karma Yogi can go through Shravanam, and because he is focused, he is distraction free minded, he has relative peace of mind. The Karma Yogi has Viveka Vairagyam, he is not distracted, he is very focused, therefore he can understand the teaching very quickly. If a person is uttam adhikari, shravanam itself is enough for him. Shravanam becomes very easy for a karma yogi, because he is very highly qualified person, eligible person. So shravanam itself can bless the person with a clear vision. Suppose he is not uttam adhikari, no, he can easily go through maranam also. He can get all his doubts resolved. Then karma yogi, as a relatively pure and steady minded, distraction free minded, because of his adequate dispassion towards objects, he is very focused, that he has that meditative disposition of the mind, that he can contemplate easily. He can have a clear, doubt free knowledge of the self, and it is possible for him to dwell upon the fact about the self. Aham, Atma, Asmi. How he can clearly see repeatedly what I is, what I is not. Thereby, he can see clearly how one's own self is nothing but Atma. In the light of the clear vision of one's own self being Atma, he can see that the entire objective universe also is not different from Atma. That way he can see Atma being one, secondless and non-dual. In the clear ascertained vision of this Atma being one, secondless, non-dual, all his wrong notions about the self resolve, all his wrong notions about the world resolve. He has the right perspective of the self and the world. Thereby, he takes ownership of fullness of happiness being his own surupam. Okay, this is for him, Brahman. What is implied by the term Brahman is the self, is the truth of I. Aham Brahma Asmi. This contemplation is possible for a karma yogi. Okay. Thereby he attains this ascertained doubt-free vision of the reality implied by the term Brahman being one's own self is the culmination of Jnanasya Paranishtha. How does he attain? Let me tell you, Arjuna, please listen. Now, from this 50th verse onwards, until the up to the 55th verse, 50th verse onwards, the 55th verse in 6 verses, Bhagavan is going to discuss only the Nididhyasanam, the discipline of Nididhyasanam. Okay? Bhagavan presents the discussion on Nididhyasanam, which is the meditation. Shastram, Vedanta Shastram, meditation means repeatedly seeing one's own self being already the reality, Brahman. Repeatedly, clearly, doubtlessly seeing one's own self, the truth of I, Swarupam of I being already pure consciousness implied by the term Brahman is contemplation. How can one see that? Because the person, by seeing the meanings of the words of the Shastram unfolded by the teacher, one can see, seeing the meanings of the words revealing the nature of the Atma unfolded by the teacher is what? Seeing one's own self being Brahman, which is contemplation. So Bhagavan presents discussion on Nididhyasanam. Bhagavan discusses Nididhyasanam in 6 verses, from the 50th verse onwards up to the 55th verse. In the 50th verse only introduces, Arjuna, please listen to me, listen from me briefly, how a pure-minded person attains Brahman, which is the culmination of the attainment of jnana. 51st verse. Buddhya vishuddhaya yuktaha dhrityatmanam niyamyacha. Buddhya vishuddhaya yuktaha. Buddhya vishuddhaya yuktaha dhrityatmanam niyamyacha. Shabdadin vishayam styaktva ragadveshau yudasyacha. Shabdadin vishayam styaktva ragadveshau yudasyacha. Buddhya vishuddhaya yukto dhritya. See, for the sake of meaning, I break it. Otherwise, buddhya vishuddhaya yukto dhrityatmanam niyamyacha. Buddhya vishuddhaya yukto dhrityatmanam niyamyacha. Dhrityatmanam niyamyacha. Shabdadin vishayam styaktva. Shabdadin vishayam styaktva ragadveshau yudasyacha. Buddhya vishuddhaya yukto dhrityatmanam niyamyacha. Shabdadin vishayam styaktva ragadveshau yudasyacha. Now it's not complete. We have to go to the next verse also. Viviktasevi lagvasi lagvashi. Viviktasevi lagvashi. Yatavakaya manasaha. Dhyana yoga paro nityam. Vairagyam samupashritaha. Beautiful verses. Let us read those verses. Viviktasevi lagvashi yatavakaya manasaha dhyana yoga paro nityam vairagyam samupashritaha. Next verse. Ahankaram balam darpam kamam krodham parigraham. Ahankaram balam darpam kamam krodham parigraham. Vimuchya nirmama shanto brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Vimuchya nirmama shanto brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Brahma bhutah prasannatma na shochati na kankshati samasarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param bhaktya mama bhijanati yavanyaschasmi tattvatah tato mam tattvato jnatva vishate tadanantaram. Now 51st, 2nd and 3rd. All three verses we have to read together to get complete sentence. He says, Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. See the 53rd verse. Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. That is the verb. So Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. One becomes eligible to be Brahman, to become one with Brahman. Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. Who kaha Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate? Who becomes eligible to become Brahman? Who becomes eligible to become Brahman? So the whole 51st, 52nd Now 53rd, all three verses describe who is the one who becomes eligible to become Brahman. So Brahma Bhoyaya Kalpate. Kalpate, Kalpamas, becomes eligible, becomes suitable, becomes fit. A person, who, which person? Any person, anyone. Anyone Kalpate, anyone Brahma Bhoyaya Kalpate, anyone becomes fit, eligible, qualified for becoming Brahman. Brahma Bhuya. For becoming Brahman means what? One cannot, no one can become Brahman. One becomes fit, one becomes eligible, qualified for claiming one's own self being Brahman. One becomes eligible for becoming Brahman means one becomes fit for claiming, taking ownership of one's own self being Brahman. One becomes eligible, fit for seeing one's own self being already Brahman. Seeing one's own self being already Brahman, one's own self being non-separate from Brahman, one's own self becomes eligible to claim, becomes eligible for taking ownership of one's own self being already Brahman. Who becomes eligible? Brahma Bhuyaya Kaha Kalpate. Now 53, all these three verses use a list of qualifications of a person. Who becomes eligible? Very nice. Vishuddhaya buddhya yuktaha. Vishuddhaya buddhya yuktaha. Qualification number one. The person who is endowed with these qualities becomes eligible, becomes fit to become Brahman, becomes eligible, fit to claim one's own self as Brahman, becomes eligible to take ownership of one's own self being Brahman. Therefore, Vishuddhaya buddhya yuktaha. The person who is endowed with the Vishuddha buddhihi. Vishuddha buddhihi means clear intellect. The person who is endowed with the clear intellect is Vishuddhaya buddhya yuktaha. Clear intellect means what? The buddhi is no more clouded by impurities. Very clear intellect. Now, Atmanam dhritya atmanam niyamyacha. Dhritya atmanam niyamya. Again, I tell you, the word atmanam is objective case of atma, which means the mind. Atmanam niyamya. So being endowed with the unclouded, clear intellect. Atmanam niyamya. Having had mastery over one's mind, having restrained the mind, how? Dhritya, by will. See, if you want to have mastery over your emotions, mastery over your desires, anger, etc., if you want to have mastery over your mind, definitely you must make the best use of your will. You must have a strong will. You must make use of your will. You must make use of knowledge of right and wrong. Then only you can refrain from the wrong. You can do the right. Then you have mastery over your emotions. Okay, mastery over your mind. So, dhritya, by making the best use of one's willpower, the person who has restrained the mind, endowed with the clear, unclouded intellect, having restrained the mind by making use of one's willpower, then சப்தாதீன் விஷயாம் தியக்த்வா. நவ் ஹேவிங் கிவன் அப், தியக்த்வா ஹேவிங் கிவன் அப் ஆல் சென்ஸ் ஆப்ஜெக்ட்ஸ் சச் ஆஸ் சவுண்ட் எக்ஸெட்ரா, சப்த ஆதீன் விஷயான் தியக்த்வா, ஒலி முதலிய புறப்பொருட்களை விட்டு, சப்த ஆதீன் விஷயான் தியக்த்வா, ஹேவிங் கிவன் அப், ஹேவிங் ரினவுன்ஸ்ட் தி சென்ஸ் ஆப்ஜெக்ட்ஸ் சச் ஆஸ் சவுண்ட் எக்ஸெட்ரா, தென் ராகத்வேஷௌ யுதஸ்ய ச, அண்ட் ஆல்சோ having given up likes and dislikes. So, sentence is incomplete, okay? So, the person who is endowed with the unclouded clear intellect, by making the best use of his will, having restrained the mind, having also, now having shamaha, also having dhammaha, with the shama and with the dhamma, vishaya shabdadin vishayan tyaktva, having restrained the sense objects, taking withdrawn sense objects from sense organs from sense objects, okay, having given up the sense objects, ragad vesha yudasya, see atmanam dhrutva itself means one, atmanam nayam itself means one has mastery over one's mind. This is, again specifically Bhagavan mentions, ragad vesha vyudasya, having given up likes and dislikes. See, a karma yogi who consciously lives his life, having Bhagavan as the ultimate goal, he always remembers the fact that the world is no human beings, no objects, no people, no situations, nothing in the world is responsible for my unhappiness at all. Karma yogi should remember this always. The way what happens, gradually, even though there is hatred, still, he overcomes hatred. There is no dvesha towards anything in the world on a part of a karma yogi, because he remembers the fact that nothing in the world is responsible for anything I go through in life. Similarly, karma yogi also remembers the fact nothing in the world, no position, no possession, no punyam, nothing in the world is source of happiness. Therefore, karma yogi has grown out of desire for all objects, because he knows no object in the world is a source of happiness. So he has neither raga towards objects, nor has any dvesha towards the objects. He is a person of dispassion. Being a person of dispassion means what? Being free from ragadveshas. Karma yogi is free from ragadveshas because he has neither passion nor aversion towards anything. And not having passion or aversion towards anything is what? Being dispassionate. So, ragadvesha vyudasya, as a person of relative dispassion, being free from both likes and dislikes, okay, then what happened? Not complete now. So, because of these attributes, the person has shamaha, person has dhammaha, has mastery over sense organs, mastery over mind, has withdrawn his sense organs from the sense objects, and he has even given up in ragadveshas. Maybe what happens? Shravanam and mananam is possible. But the person has what? Vishuddhaya buddhya yuktaha, means the person has going through shravanam, he has resolved ignorance. Going through mananam, resolved the doubts. Therefore, now he has a very clear understanding in his intellect. That person. Now next, what is next? You have to see the next verse also. Still, See, the 51st verse is incomplete sentence. 51st verse has an incomplete sentence. Now we have to go through the next verse also to see the complete meaning. Then I'll explain this. All three verses I have to explain. Viviktasevi lagvashi. So having given up raga dveshas, having mastery over one's own mind, having restrained the mind with a clear, unclouded intellect. Now, what does he do? Viviktasevi. Viviktasevi means what? A person remaining in a secluded, quiet place. Viviktasevi, as a person remaining in a secluded place. Viviktasevi, the person who remains in a secluded, quiet place is Viviktasevi. The person resorts to a secluded, quiet place. Viviktasevi. Then Lagvashi. Laghu Ashnati iti Lagvashi. See, Laghu plus Ashi. See, Ashnati iti Ashi. Ashi means consumer, eater. Laghu Ashi means eater of little food. Konjam ti unginravan is Lagvashi. Laghu Ashnati iti Lagvashi. See, Laghu means small. So, small quantity of food. Laghu Ashnati means a person, a consumer of small quantity of food. A spiritual aspirant should not be a glutton. Lagvashi, I'm giving an exact translation. Laghu Ashnati iti Lagvashi. Laghu means small. So, a person who consumes small amount of food. Lagvashi. He eats enough. Doesn't overeat. Then, yata, vak, kaya, manasaha. Already it has been mentioned. Again, yata. Yata is a past passive participle. Restrained. As a person by whom vak, the speech, kayam, the body, manasam, mind, have been restrained. So, vak, kaya, manasaha, yataha, yena. Yatavak, kaya, manasaha. Or you can say, vak, kaya, manamsi, yatani, yena. The one by whom speech, body and the mind have been restrained. So, we can say simply, yatavakkaya manasaha means the person of restrain. The person who has restrained his speech, body and the mind. Who has disciplined his physical body, mind and speech, organ. Yatavakkaya manasaha. Vairagyam samupashitaha. Viviktasevi, Lagvashi, Yatavakkaya Manas. I'm giving you literal meaning this class. I'll explain next week. Vairagyam samupashitaha. Samupashitaha. Being given to detachment. So, Vairagyam samupashitaha means as a person of detachment. Being given to the discipline of detachment. As a person of detachment, vairagyam samupashritaha, nityam dhyana yoga paraha. It's all this, he must be viviktasevi, he must be lagvashi, he must be yatavakkaya manasaha, he must be the person of restraint over speech, body and the mind. Vairagyam samupashitaha, as a person of detachment, the person who is given to detachment. Nityam dhyana yoga paraha. Nityam, always. The one who is committed to the discipline of contemplation. Dhyana yoga means, yoga means discipline, the discipline of contemplation. So dhyana yogaha paraha yasya. Dhyana yoga paraha, for whom always being contemplative is the priority. Being contemplative, remaining in contemplation is the priority. Always. See, the person for whom contemplation is the priority, he is said to be dhyana yoga paraha. Always nityam is an adverb here, indicable word is an adverb. Nityam, always, who is totally committed to the discipline of contemplation. Dhyana yoga. Now, the sentence is not complete, okay? I'm giving you the literal meanings first. We'll go next verse to get the complete sense. Ahankaram balandarpam kamam krodham parigraham vimuchyakar nirmama shantaha. Now, this person, ahankaram, balam, darpam, kamam, krodham, parigraham, vimuchya, nirmamaha shantaha, brahma bhuyaya kalpate. You have to quickly see the meaning of both verses. That person becomes eligible for the attainment of Brahman, for becoming Brahman. Who is the person? We have seen already. The person who is endowed with the clear intellect, who has restrained the mind by his strong will, and has renounced his sense objects, like sounds, etc., and who has given up his likes and dislikes. Then, here's the next meaning also. The person, as the person resorted to a secluded place, as a person of, as a consumer of it, limited food, small quantity of food, as a person of restraint over speech, body and the mind, as one who is given to the discipline of, as one who is given to Vairagyam, and having contemplation as the priority, always having the discipline of contemplation as the priority. Now, we can see the next verse now. Vimuchya. Vimuchya means what? Giving up. Having given up. Having got rid of. Vimuchya. Having got rid of. Ahankaraha. The wrong notions about the self. Ahankara. Balam. The power. Darpam. See, all objective case. Having given up ahankara, ahankaram, balam, then darpa, arrogance, kamaha, desire, krodaha, anger, parigraham, sense of possession. So having given up ahankara, power, arrogance, desire, Krodaha, anger, parigraham, the possession. And, okay, cha, get that. And also, nirmamaha, as a person who is free from my sense, the sense of mine. Nirmamaha, as a person, as the one who is free from the sense of mine, or the notion of mine. Shantaha, as a person of tranquility, as a person of mental tranquility. Shantaha, as the person of mental tranquility, okay, with all these efforts, Brahma Bhoyaya Kalpate, one becomes eligible, one becomes fit for becoming one with Brahman. One becomes fit for claiming oneself as Brahman. One becomes fit for recognizing the fact of one's own self being already Brahman. Is it clear? You have to club all three words. If you read any one verse, sentence will be incomplete. Sentence becomes complete only if you read all three verses. Buddhya vishuddhaya yuktaha dhrityatmanam niyamyacha shabdadin vishayam styaktva ragadveshau yudasya cha viviktasevi lagvashi yatavakaya manasaha dhyana yoga paro nityam vairagyam samupashritaha ahankaram balam darpam kamam krodham parigraham vimuchya nirmama shanto brahma bhoyaya kalpate. In fact, in three verses, certain things are repeated, really speaking. Same thing has been put in different words. Which means, why same thing has been put in different words? Because that discipline is emphasized, emphatically mentioned, highlighted. That this person who becomes eligible, the person who is endowed with these qualities alone becomes eligible. Therefore, in order to highlight the importance of those qualities, sometimes in three verses, they repeat it also. See, once you say, the person has restrained, the person has restrained the mind, body and speech, means what? It implies already the person is free from ragadveshas. Again, it is a ragadvesha vidasya. On the whole, this person, a spiritual aspirant, is a disciplined person. Highly disciplined person. Relatively highly disciplined person. That he can remain without any distraction. He can remain focused. Thereby, he also is possible for him to go through Shravanam Mananam, understand the teaching. It's also possible for him even to assimilate the teaching, because it's possible for him to repeatedly dwell upon the teaching without any distraction, because he's disciplined minded. See, contemplation is very easy. Thereby ascertaining the fact that Aham Brahma Asmi is very easy. Discovering the freedom being already one's own Swarupam is very, very easy. The difficulty is involved in having the contemplative disposition of the mind. So assimilated vision of the truth is possible only if a person is contemplative. Contemplation is possible if a person has contemplative mental disposition. Contemplative mental disposition is possible only if a person strictly, only if a person becomes focused, becomes focused means what? Distraction free. The person becomes distraction free minded. Distraction free mind is possible only if a person has vairagyam. Okay, if vairagyam is not there, be remaining focused is not that easy. You will be distracted. I tell you, hundreds of situations, hundreds of things, not only sense objects and pleasures. Yet even always worries about people, money, possession. Things will come and distract us. We will not be allowed peacefully to focus on understanding the teaching, retaining the teaching, dwelling upon the teaching, resolving doubts in teaching. No, it's not possible. Unless you have contemplative disposition of the mind. So understanding, to be able to understand the teaching, you must be focused. To retain what you understood, you must be focused. To dwell upon what you understood and retained, you need very, very focused, distraction-free mind. And the Shastram says, come on, it is impossible for any human being to remain focused unless a person has vairagyam, dispassion, detachment. See, dispassion or detachment means the person should clearly see the world is not at all responsible for one's unhappiness. People, their behavior, possessions, okay, what we want, what we do not want, nothing, no external situation is responsible at all for any degree of pain I go through in my life. And nothing in the world can give me happiness. Nothing in the world is a source of happiness. The external situations, beings and people can become nimittam to trigger. Can be nimittam in enabling the manifestation of fullness of happiness with a fraction of manifestation, a fraction of fullness of my own sarupam. The external objects can become nimittam, but no object is source of happiness. When a person understands this fact, thereby the person becomes free from passion, aversion towards anything. So the person of detachment, the person of dispassion, is the person who is free from both passion and aversion towards anything in the world. Not mere aversion, okay? Being free from both passion and aversion towards anything and everything in the world is vairagyam. Detachment, dispassion. The vairagyam is possible only if a person understands that what I want, a person must be very clear about what one wants in life. What I want is moksha, and that is possible only through jnanam. This viveka one must have. But in the world is time bound, he knows. So if a person has vivekaha, the person can have vairagyam. A person can have vairagyam. If a person has vairagyam, then he can be focused. He can be free from distractions. If a person has focused attention, then contemplation is possible. If contemplation is possible, ascertainment of the teaching is possible. Then it is that person becomes eligible to discover the fact of one's own self being non-separate from Brahman. Okay, that's why attainment of jnanam, ascertainment of the knowledge, attainment of moksha, contemplation, everything is very easy if you have vairagya. But if you are focused, we're distraction-free minded. But distraction-free mind, oh my God, the most difficult thing is not to be distracted by things and situations in life. Not distracted, but disturbed. So disturbance-free, distraction-free mind is possible only if a person has vairagyam. Vairagya, a person should have Vivek also. For which one must have lived a clean life. Where Bhagavan emphasizes that Brahma Bhuyaya Kaha Kalpate, only the person becomes eligible to take ownership of one's own Swarupam being already Brahman. Ascertaining the fact of one's own self being Brahman through contemplation. If a person is highly distraction-free, focused minded attention, personal focus attention, for which one needs all this qualification, raga dvesha vyudasya, like indriya, giving up objects outside, etc. All these are said for that only. The person attains jnanam. Okay. Can we stop now? Was it clear? See, all of us understand easily. Now we all should understand where our problem lies. Everything is very clear. Where we go wrong, then why we are still where we can, the victims of the problems. Okay, we'll discuss next class. Okay, so the following class will be interesting. Of course, all classes are interesting for me. And of course, we can see how interesting everything will be later on. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.